You're listening to Dialogue, an exchange about culture straight from the soul. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The month of May brings a new mayor to Urbana City Hall. After a two-year campaign, Deshaun Williams will replace Diane Wolf Marlin, who decided not to run for re-election. We'll hear from her a little later. But first, more on Williams, who grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He has a long career in banking and formerly served as the Champaign County Treasurer. Williams is married with two children. I recently sat down with the new mayor to talk about his priorities for the city of Urbana and why he plans to spend a lot of time with youth.
You know, one of the top priorities that we will embark on once I get in, it's going to be the beginning of a search, you know, for a new city administrator. You know, considering that the current administrator will be leaving at the same time as the outgoing mayor. So that's going to be one of the top priorities. But, you know, along with that, it's, you know, a matter of us just, again, changing the culture, you know, within City Hall and you know, again, really getting folks excited and fired up to, you know, to embark on this new chapter. So we're going to do a lot of, you know, internal workings and rebuilding, you know, in some spaces and just really prepare for this new beginning. So
you'll be Urbana's first Black mayor.
Yes.
What does that mean to you, and what do you think it means to the city's residents?
You know, it was very clear that they were wanting change, you know, and I know that that is cliche at times, right, because everyone says it. We hear it all the time, you know, that really hit home in 2008, right, with our former president, you know, Barack. But it was just one of those things where it was clear that the people wanted something different, you know, and I think that we had a unique opportunity. And I'm grateful they believe that, you know, I brought something new. They believe that I brought something special. And I do believe that, you know, my 2 years of campaigning paid off, right, because they were able to see the heart of the man, you know, and the servant, you know, leader that I like to think that I, you know, am at times, you know, and I tell folks all the time that 2 years is a long time to mess something up, right? So they had an opportunity to see me at work in some capacity, you know, but as far as, you know, what that means, you know, to just to my community, to the Black community, to the young folks in particular, you know, this is something to let them know your story doesn't have to end the way it starts, right? You know, I know there was a time in my life where I was told I would be dead or in jail before I was 21, you know, and that was due to, you know, my behavior, the crowd that I kept, you know, around me. And ironically, one of those individuals that was in that group that was told that is dead and another's in jail, right? So it's just one of those things where I show my young Black and brown kids that anything is possible. You're not subject to what other people believe.
When you were running for mayor, mm-hmm. one part of your platform was a proposed education initiative called
yes.
Urbana U.
Correct.
Can you tell me more about that?
I was with a group of kids from 11 to 17. And this particular group, I knew, you know, they were responsible for some of the crime and things that had taken place, you know, in the city over the last 6 months or so. So, you know, I was able to get them, you know, together in an undisclosed, you know, location because there was a genuine fear of, you know, their ops finding out where they were and retaliating. And, you know, we put them in a space where we fed them, got them, you know, just comfortable so that we could just talk, right? I asked them a few questions. One of the questions was, when was the last time someone told you they loved you? What do you want to be when you grow up? What's your biggest fear in life? Just things to shift their mind to so that they were able to turn off the street mentality, right? Turn off survival mode and just mm-hmm. become a kid again, right? And there was one young person in particular. He was 11. He had been to JDC already, suspended from two schools already. He wasn't participating, didn't want to answer any questions. He didn't want to read anything. And at the end, we were able to talk, and they found out he couldn't read. He couldn't write, right? So I said, oh, I see what's happening. He's overcompensating a lack of, from an educational standpoint, by being a tough guy in the classroom or in the streets. Right. So he's in survival mode. So I understood that because, you know, there was a point in time I tell people all the time I had a learning disability. I had a short attention span. Right. I was fortunate and blessed to have learned how to use that to my advantage, you know, hence why I'm able to do multiple things and things. Right. So with him, I said, all right, well, there's still clearly a negative, you know, connotation around in school learning at times, right? And while there are some amazing alternative programmings like Tiger Academy in particular, like I've truly grown to appreciate the work that they've done, you know, and that they continue to do, there's still a space for folks to not want to or not feel comfortable in being around a group because their learning capabilities just aren't to par with the other people, right? So the ideal around this was, you know, for people of all ages, right? Not just our youth, but through, you know, adulthood as well, you know, to have access to an educational space on their own time, you know, at their own pace, right? The idea of this is to have this, you know, being taught by, you know, local educators and things of that nature. So people that they know, you know, we'll provide a video, you know, around the subject matter, and they will be able to do this on their own time at their own pace without any surrounding questions or, you know, anything like that. So that was the thought around it. And I've already been in conversation, you know, with some of our local amazing educators and professors. And this is something that we are absolutely going to put forth.
Yeah. Public safety has mm-hmm. been a contentious issue in the community.
Sure.
There have been calls to combat crime and prevent gun violence. But there have also been debates in city council about the department's use of force policy.
Mm-hmm.
How should police handle mental health emergencies and the treatment of African Americans?
Mm-hmm.
How do you plan to navigate those desires to reduce crime while acknowledging concerns about over-policing?
Sure. No, that's a great question. Yeah, that was a hot topic, you know, throughout the campaign, right? And I've said from the very beginning, we're going to involve everyone in these decisions moving forward, right? From our council to our police department to our community, right? My thought process, we're going to build consensus around any and everything that we do moving forward, not just policing, mm-hmm. right? And I know that, you know, the attention and the spotlight narrowed down to the policing, which, again, it's understandable. But, you know, for me, I've always said it's going to be really hard for anyone to argue with the work, you know. So, you know, whether or not I was in support of, you know, providing a surveillance, you know, an ordinance, right, around accountability and things of that nature as far as the, you know, the surveillance piece is concerned. And I still believe that, right? I do feel that there needs to be, you know, accountability held and transparency around those things, right? And I from my conversations, I have heard and had conversations with the chief and other, you know, officers. They're in agreement with that, right? So now we need to find that middle ground. So now we need to understand what, you know, what the council, what they're attempting to do and present, right? To ensure that, again, they're working and speaking in on regard to their constituents, right? So we need to understand what they are wanting so that we can present it to the police department. They all need to be in that conversation, though. It can't be one or the other, right? We all have to be a part of that conversation. So, you know, for me, it's going to absolutely be a matter of us getting into the streets. You know, something that I you know, had a conversation with Chief Boone, you know, I want us to literally get in the streets, touch the youth, have these training, these conversations around what this looks like to turn things around. If we're going to be honest with each other, the majority of the violence and things that has taken place over the last few years have been at the hands of our youth. You know, so that is all, you know, that's been my approach. I've said I don't want us to solely be reactional. That's the problem, right? And I do believe that that has been the case over the last however many years now. We've been reactional. So the moment we can shift that and really focus on preventatives, that's when I believe that we are going to see a shift, you know, and that's when I believe that we'll see, you know, we'll curb the violence in a sense. It's not to take away anything. I have a tremendous amount of respect for our police chief. You know, he's put in a lot of work over the years. I have a tremendous amount of respect for, you know, for our department. I think anyone can say that if they call 911, they want someone to come, right? Because there's a reason they called and they want someone to respond.
Yes.
Right. You know, so I will just go ahead and say this publicly, you know, the thought of, oh, we don't need any more. That's insane. Right. You know, I can't agree with that personally, you know, but and again, while I appreciate and respect, you know, the desire to want to protect Black and brown people, I'm Black and brown. You know what I mean? I wear a suit 3 days out the week, but the other few days, my tattoos are out. I got Jordans on my feet. I got 5% tint on my windows on my car, right? I look like the stereotypical whatever, and I can become a hashtag at any given time. You know, so for me, I really want a community focused approach. I do want to see the alternative response develop, and not know it's developed, but I want to see it put into place now. You know what I mean? We've had the meetings, we had the conversation. So now it's time for the action, right? Let's put in the work. And as I said earlier, let's get into the streets and make these things happen, right? They're not going to be able to go on every call. They're not going to be able to solve every issue. But to have that as an option is going to be huge for our city. And I do believe that we have an opportunity to lead the way in that.
What would you like to see change in the city of Urbana by the end of your term in office?
Ooh, that is a good question.
It's a big question.
It's a big question. You know what? In all honesty, by the end of my term, it's my hope that we can bring multiple sides to the center. You know, and let me clarify, I'm not saying center politically, right? but there's some division out there right now. Unconsciously too. That's the unfortunate part, because I realized this, you know, throughout the campaign. We're divided and we don't really realize it, right? I am hoping that we will, again, the youth is that's my core, that's my heart, right? I'm hoping that we will see an increase, you know, in not only Black and brown kids being able to be successful from an educational standpoint, but understanding that, you know, college and things of that nature is not for everyone, right? College and universities, it's not for everyone. So, you know, I've worked really hard in bringing the trades, you know, and things of that nature to the community, and ensuring that that message is strong. You know, so for me, it's my hope that we're able to bring all sides together, and knowing that we're one team. This is the city of Urbana. They've grown to be known for, you know, their culture and the fun, the excitement, the art, them being together. And I think that we've lost sight of some of that, you know, and it's due to the political nature, right? For over the last, you know, few presidential terms and things of that nature. So, you know, it's my hope that we'll bring some unity, you know, to the community, as cheesy as that sound, but, you know, bring some unity and really just put forth, you know, some tangible outcomes and goals, you know, and just that we, again, we're going to be known for action. You know, I say it all the time. I don't want to attend too many more meetings, you know, because if we're not looking to put the action and put the work in, What are we really talking about? You know, so that's what I am hoping the end of my term, you know, will be a reflection of. Like, they put in the work. They put in the work. They made the change. The change was evident from the work that they put in.
You're listening to Dialogue. I'm Kimberly Schofield, and that was my interview with the new Urbana mayor, Deshaun Williams. He will succeed Diane Wolfe Marlin, who decided not to run for re-election after two terms as mayor. We should mention Marlin is a longtime supporter and former volunteer with Illinois Public Media, but we cover her like any other leader in our area. A couple of weeks ago, she talked with IPM's Jim Meadows. Marlin started with what she didn't know when she first became mayor in 2017.
I'll tell you, I thought I knew a lot about city government because I had served on the council for 8 years, but you really never understand the full scope of responsibilities and duties until you take the office. So I came into office and I had some goals, and we've accomplished all of those, I believe. But one of the major goals was to restore the financial health of the city. So that's what we focused on the first few years.
What was the state of the city's financial health, and what was the problem with it?
Well, we were facing a $2.5 million structural deficit, and in order to fix that, we had to make some very painful decisions.
What sort of painful decisions did you have to do at that point?
Well, we looked at staffing levels. We were looking at any possible ways we could reduce our expenses and spending. At the same time, we increased a few sources of revenue, including sales tax, food and beverage tax. So a combination of spending reductions and some revenue increases over a period of about 3 years.
Where do you see the city now financially?
We built a strong financial foundation. We eliminated our deficit. We rebuilt our city reserves to now where there's 25% of our general operating fund. We are halfway through implementing our facilities improvement plan. So we are in a strong financial foundation right now. Unfortunately, now there's so much uncertainty at the federal government level that going forward, it's hard to say what's going to happen, but at least I'm handing over a city that at least has a very strong foundation.
Any particular advice you have for your successor as mayor?
Do the best you can. Do the best you can to the best of your ability. You can't make everybody happy, but again, you have to make decisions based on what is best for the community as a whole.
That was Urbana Mayor Diane Wolf Marlin talking with Jim Meadows as she prepares to leave office after serving for two terms. Marlin's successor, Deshaun Williams, was scheduled to be sworn in on Saturday, May 3rd. All of this week's interviews with Chancellor Robert Jones and past and present Urbana mayors Diane Wolf Marlin and Deshaun Williams are available on the Illinois Public Media YouTube channel. That's all for this week's Dialogue. The Dialogue team includes Kennedy Vincent, Ariel Ravinney, Reginald Hardwick, Jim Meadows, and Steve Mork. Dialogue and Illinois Soul are part of Illinois Public Media, a service of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. We'll talk with you again next week.